Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. This time, we're tackling a topic that's been generating a lot of buzz lately, mRNA vaccines. And get this, we're not just talking about their role in infectious diseases. We're going deep into their potential for cancer treatment, which is pretty mind-blowing.
It's definitely a hot topic, and this article from Molecular Cancer, the use of RNA-based treatments in the field of cancer immunotherapy, really digs into the science behind it all.
I'm excited to dive in. So we're going beyond the headlines today and really trying to understand how these vaccines actually work, what makes them so revolutionary, and what challenges scientists are still working to overcome. What were your initial thoughts on the article?
Well, what struck me is how far mRNA vaccines have come. We've gone from a theoretical concept to, you know, real-world solutions for a global pandemic. But, and the article does a good job highlighting this, the road to success was paved with some pretty significant obstacles.
Right. Like, how do you even begin to work with something as fragile as mRNA? It's easily broken down, and then there's the challenge of getting it inside the right cells without, like, setting off the body's defenses in a bad way. It seemed like an impossible problem to solve for a long time.
It did. For a long time, it was. But then, and this was a game changer, scientists figured out how to modify the structure of the mRNA and package it within these tiny protective capsules called lipid nanoparticles.
Okay, so lipid nanoparticles. Those like tiny fat bubbles.
Right. Exactly. Think of them as protective armor for the mRNA, making it more stable and helping it slip into cells without being immediately destroyed.
So it's like sneaking a secret message past a bunch of guards.
Exactly. This breakthrough really opened up the floodgates for mRNA vaccine development, paving the way for all sorts of incredible applications, like the cancer immunotherapy we're exploring today.
And one of the most significant advantages, as we've seen with the COVID-19 vaccines, is the rapid development time, right?
Absolutely. But it goes beyond that. The cost-effectiveness of manufacturing mRNA vaccines is also a game changer, especially when we think about ensuring global access. But even beyond those advantages, the real beauty of mRNA technology lies in its flexibility.
Flexibility? Okay, I'm intrigued. What do you mean by that?
Think of mRNA as a set of instructions. We can essentially plug in any genetic code we want, making it possible to target a wide range of diseases and even personalized treatments.
Hold on, personalized cancer vaccines? That sounds like something straight out of a science fiction movie.
It might sound futuristic, but the science is very real. Every tumor has unique markers called neoantigens. They're like a tumor's ID badge. Now imagine creating an mRNA vaccine that specifically teaches your immune system to recognize and target those neoantigens.
So instead of chemotherapy, which affects the whole body, this would be like giving your immune system a personalized hit list. No more collateral damage.
That's the goal. This targeted approach could mean more effective cancer treatment with fewer side effects. Now, of course, it's still early days, but the potential is enormous.
This is also fascinating, but I have to admit I'm also a little apprehensive. We're talking about, like, manipulating the immune system, which is incredibly complex. The article even mentioned this delicate dance between mRNA vaccines and the immune system. It seems risky, right?
It's a valid concern. We want to stimulate the immune system to fight disease, but too much stimulation can actually backfire, reducing a vaccine's effectiveness and potentially leading to unwanted side effects.
So how do scientists walk that tightrope? It's like we need a dimmer switch for the immune system.
In a way, we do. And scientists are developing some very precise strategies to fine-tune that immune response. One way is by purifying the mRNA, which removes impurities that could overstimulate the immune system.
Okay, so it's like removing any static or interference from the signal. What else are they doing?
They're also using something called modified nucleotides. These are like the building blocks for mRNA. These modifications can make the mRNA less recognizable to certain parts of the immune system, reducing the chance of an overreaction.
Wow, it's incredible how much detail goes into designing these vaccines. It's like a combination of engineering, chemistry, and immunology all rolled into one.
But what about the delivery? How do we actually get these mRNA cancer vaccines where they need to go in the body? I read the article mentioned two main methods, direct injection and something called dendritic cell vaccines.
You're right. Both have their pros and cons. Direct injection is exactly what it sounds like. The mRNA is delivered straight into the tumor or surrounding tissue. Think of it like delivering a targeted strike right to the heart of the enemy camp. It's simpler, less expensive, and preclinical studies are showing some encouraging results. But there's a catch, right? It can't be that easy.
There are always challenges. With direct injection, it's about making sure the mRNA is delivered efficiently and translated into protein once it reaches those tumor cells. Imagine. We can deliver the troops, but we need to make sure they have the resources to build a base and fight once they arrive.
Okay, I get it. It's like we can get the message delivered, but we need to make sure it actually gets read and understood once it arrives. So, direct injection has its challenges. What about that other method you mentioned, dendritic cell vaccines? That one sounds way more complicated.
It is a bit more involved. Dendritic cells are like the intelligence officers of your immune system. They're responsible for gathering information about threats and presenting it to other immune cells, kind of like initiating a coordinated attack.
So they're the ones who sound the alarm and say, "Hey everyone, we've got a problem here."
Exactly. With dendritic cell vaccines, scientists extract a patient's own dendritic cells, train them with the mRNA outside the body to recognize specific cancer cells, and then reinfuse them back into the patient. It's like giving your immune system a crash course in cancer recognition.
Wow, that's some next-level immune system hacking.
Yeah.
But I bet that level of precision comes at a cost, right?
You're right. Dendritic cell vaccines are more complex and expensive to produce compared to direct injection. There are also logistical challenges because the process involves multiple steps and requires specialized facilities.
So it's a trade-off. Simplicity versus potentially greater potency and a more targeted response.
Yeah.
But either way, it sounds like scientists are making some incredible progress in using mRNA to fight cancer.
Yeah.
Are there any other breakthroughs on the horizon that have you particularly excited?
There's one that really stands out, and that's self-amplifying mRNA or SAM vaccines.
SAM vaccines. I've never even heard of those. Tell me more.
These are really fascinating. They're inspired by viruses. And unlike traditional mRNA vaccines, SAM vaccines can actually replicate inside cells.
Okay, wait, back up a second. Replicate inside cells. Like a virus. That sounds a little unnerving.
It does sound a bit wild, right? But it's this ability to replicate that makes SAM vaccines so intriguing. It's like this: a traditional mRNA vaccine delivers one set of instructions to the cell. A SAM vaccine, on the other hand, delivers those instructions along with the tools to make copies of those instructions.
So it's like the instructions come with a built-in copy machine. That's clever.
Exactly. And because the mRNA keeps replicating, it could mean we can achieve a much longer-lasting immune response with a smaller dose.
Okay, now that's impressive. Fewer jabs for everyone. Sign me up. But I'm guessing it's not quite that simple, is it? There have to be challenges with this approach.
You're right to be cautious. It's still early days for this technology. One of the biggest hurdles is figuring out how to deliver SAM vaccines effectively. We need to get those instructions and that copy machine safely inside the right cells.
Right, because we don't want to accidentally unleash a runaway copy machine inside the body.
Exactly. And then, of course, there's always the concern about triggering unwanted immune responses. Remember, SAM vaccines are taking inspiration from viruses, so there's a risk that the immune system might overreact to those viral components.
It's like walking a tightrope between harnessing the power of viral replication while making sure it doesn't go rogue.
A very delicate balancing act indeed. Scientists are exploring different delivery systems, such as those trusty lipid nanoparticles and polymers, to protect the SAM mRNA and get it where it needs to go. They're also fine-tuning the SAM vaccine's genetic code to optimize its replication and minimize those unwanted immune responses.
It sounds like a lot of trial and error, but the potential payoff is huge. But for now, let's bring it back to cancer. How are these SAM vaccines being used in the fight against cancer?
One of the most promising areas is in, you guessed it, personalized cancer vaccines. Remember those neoantigens we talked about, the unique markers found on tumor cells?
Yes, those personalized hit lists for the immune system.
Imagine combining SAM technology with neoantigen targeting. Scientists could potentially create incredibly potent and long-lasting cancer vaccines tailored to each person's unique tumor.
It's like giving the immune system a guided missile programmed to seek and destroy only the cancer cells. That sounds like the holy grail of cancer treatment.
It's certainly a powerful concept, and the early research is promising. Of course, there are still many hurdles to overcome before SAM vaccines become a widespread reality, but the progress so far is incredibly exciting.
It's amazing how much progress has been made in such a short time. This whole field is moving at lightning speed. Speaking of speed, let's talk about how we actually manufacture these mRNA vaccines, especially as we look to scale up production. The article mentions something called microfluidic mixing, and it sounds like something straight out of a science fiction movie.
It does sound futuristic, but it's a real and incredibly important technique. Essentially, microfluidic mixing allows scientists to produce large quantities of lipid nanoparticles, those crucial delivery vehicles for mRNA, with incredible precision and consistency.
So it's like having a microscopic assembly line for building those tiny delivery trucks.
That's a great analogy. We're talking about tiny channels, often thinner than a human hair, where the lipids and mRNA are mixed in a highly controlled manner. This ensures that each nanoparticle is uniform in size, shape, and composition.
And that consistency is key for making sure the mRNA vaccines are safe and effective, right?
Absolutely. Microfluidic mixing is also highly scalable, meaning it allows manufacturers to ramp up production quickly to meet demand, which is essential, especially in the face of a pandemic.
It's incredible how technology is helping to accelerate the development and production of these life-saving vaccines. But I have to ask, are lipid nanoparticles the only delivery system for mRNA vaccines? This article mentions something about polymers as well.
You're right. Lipid nanoparticles are incredibly effective, but they're not the only game in town. Polymers are another option for delivering mRNA.
Remind me, what are polymers again?
Think of them as large molecules made up of repeating structural units. They can be designed to encapsulate and protect the mRNA, much like those lipid nanoparticles we talked about.
So they're like an alternative packaging material for those all-important instructions.
Exactly. And polymers have some unique advantages. For example, they can be designed to degrade over time, releasing the mRNA in a controlled manner, which could be really useful for achieving longer-term protein production.
It's like having a time-release capsule for mRNA, ensuring a steady supply of those therapeutic proteins.
Precisely. And like lipid nanoparticles, polymers can also be modified to target specific cells or tissues.
It sounds like scientists have a whole toolbox of delivery systems at their disposal.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless of the specific delivery method, the ultimate goal is to get that mRNA safely into the right cells so it can work its magic.
Right, exactly. And that's where the choice of administration route comes in. We typically think of vaccines as injections, but the article highlighted a few different approaches being explored, some of which might surprise you.
Oh, like what?
Well, there's direct injection into the tumor, which we've already touched on. Then there's the more familiar intravenous injection. But one of the most intriguing methods mentioned in the article is intranasal administration.
Intranasal? You mean like a nasal spray? That would be a game changer.
Right. No needles. It's a much less invasive way to deliver a vaccine, and it could lead to better patient compliance.
And it seems like a more direct route to target respiratory viruses too, right?
You got it. Intranasal administration might also be a promising way to target certain types of cancers, like those of the head and neck.
It's incredible to think about the potential of mRNA vaccines. It's like this technology is opening up a whole new world of possibilities.
It truly is. And with each new discovery, we're gaining a deeper understanding of how to harness the power of mRNA to treat a wider range of diseases.
Speaking of which, one thing that stood out in the article was the emphasis on selecting the right target for these mRNA cancer vaccines. It seems like scientists have a whole menu of options when it comes to tumor-associated antigens, or TAAs.
They do. Remember, TAAs are molecules found on the surface of tumor cells that can be used as targets for mRNA vaccines. By choosing the right TAAs, we can essentially teach the immune system to recognize and attack those specific tumor cells.
Like giving the immune system a wanted poster with the TAA's picture on it.
Exactly. But not all TAAs are created equal. Some are more effective than others at triggering a strong immune response, and some are found on both tumor cells and healthy cells, which can lead to those unwanted off-target effects.
So it's a delicate balance between finding TAAs that are highly specific to tumor cells and those that can elicit a powerful immune response.
You got it. It's a bit like finding a needle in a haystack, but scientists are making progress. The article mentions several categories of TAAs being explored, including shared antigens, differentiation antigens, and a rather intriguing group called cancer testis antigens.
Okay, I'm definitely curious about those cancer testis antigens. What makes them so special?
Well, their name gives you a bit of a clue. They're typically only found in sperm cells, but for some reason, they can also be expressed in certain types of cancer.
Wait, really? What's the connection there?
That's the million-dollar question. It's not entirely clear why cancer cells would express these antigens that are normally only found in testes, but it could be related to the fact that cancer cells often reactivate genes that are usually silenced in adult tissues.
So it's like cancer cells are reverting to a more primitive state, expressing genes that are typically only active during development.
That's one theory. And because these cancer testis antigens are not normally found in other tissues, they could be incredibly valuable targets for cancer vaccines, highly specific with potentially minimal off-target effects.
It's amazing how our understanding of cancer biology is constantly evolving. But this brings us to what might be the most exciting development in personalized cancer treatment: neoantigens.
Neoantigens hold incredible promise. Unlike those other TAAs we talked about, neoantigens are completely unique to each person's tumor.
It's like each tumor has its own fingerprint. How is that even possible?
Yeah.
These neoantigens arise from mutations in the tumor's DNA. As the tumor grows and divides, those mutations create errors in the genetic code, leading to the production of these unique proteins, neoantigens, that the immune system has never encountered before.
So they're like brand new targets, never before seen by the immune system.
Exactly. And because neoantigens are not found in healthy cells, they are, in theory, the ideal targets for personalized cancer vaccines. Imagine training the immune system to target only those cells with the unique neoantigen fingerprint, leaving healthy cells completely unharmed.
It's like giving the immune system a personalized set of blueprints to seek and destroy only the cancer cells. No more collateral damage. That's incredible.
It truly is a groundbreaking approach, and the early clinical trials are showing some very promising results.
It sounds like we're entering a new era of cancer treatment, where personalized medicine is taking center stage. It's incredible to think that we could one day be talking about tailoring cancer treatments to each patient's unique tumor fingerprint. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's talk a bit about the challenges of actually getting those mRNA cancer vaccines where they need to go in the body. We've talked about different delivery systems like lipid nanoparticles and polymers, but what about the environment those systems encounter once they're inside the body? This article mentions something called the tumor microenvironment.
Ah, yes. The tumor microenvironment. It's a fascinating and often very challenging aspect of cancer treatment.
Challenging how?
Well, imagine for a moment that the tumor is a fortress and the immune system is the army trying to attack it. The tumor microenvironment is like all the defenses that the fortress has in place. Walls, moats, traps, you name it.
So it's not just a matter of getting the immune system soldiers to the battlefield.
Yeah.
We also need to make sure they can actually breach the fortress walls and fight effectively once they're inside.
Exactly. Tumors are very cunning adversaries. They can create a whole range of obstacles to keep those immune cells at bay.
Okay, so what kind of defenses are we talking about? Give me the inside scoop.
Well, for starters, tumors can release substances that suppress the activity of immune cells.
So they're basically putting the immune system to sleep. Talk about dirty tactics.
Right. And it doesn't stop there. Tumors can also create physical barriers, making it difficult for those immune cells to penetrate the tumor and reach their target. Think, you know, dense networks of fibers and cells, almost like a brick wall surrounding the tumor.
It's like they're building an impenetrable fortress.
And if that weren't enough, they can even recruit other cells, like regulatory T cells, to their side.
Wait, aren't regulatory T cells supposed to be the good guys?
Normally, yes. They help to keep the immune system in check, preventing it from overreacting. But tumors can manipulate these regulatory T cells, turning them into double agents that suppress the immune response against the tumor.
So tumors are basically masters of espionage, turning the immune system against itself. It's remarkable in a terrifying kind of way.
Mm. It's definitely a formidable defense system, which is why scientists are constantly searching for ways to overcome these obstacles.
So how do we fight back? How do we help the immune system win this battle?
One promising approach is to combine cancer vaccines with other therapies that target the tumor microenvironment. It's like launching a multi-pronged attack. We need to weaken the fortress defenses at the same time that we're sending in the troops.
So it's not enough to just have a powerful weapon like an mRNA vaccine. We also need to clear the path and give those immune cells the support they need to finish the job.
Exactly. Some therapies aim to block the signals that suppress immune cell activity, essentially waking those sleepy soldiers back up. Others focus on breaking down those physical barriers surrounding the tumor, creating a clearer path for the immune cells to infiltrate. And still others target those traitorous regulatory T cells, preventing them from interfering with the immune response.
It sounds like a well-coordinated battle plan. And with all these different approaches working together, we might finally be able to tap the scales in favor of the immune system.
That's the goal. The field of cancer immunotherapy is incredibly dynamic, with researchers constantly developing new and innovative strategies to outmaneuver those crafty tumor cells.
It's like an arms race, but instead of building bigger bombs, we're building smarter therapies that can outsmart the enemy. This deep dive has been an incredible journey so far. We've covered so much ground, from the basics of how mRNA vaccines work to the complexities of the immune system and the innovative strategies being developed to target even the most elusive cancers.
It's been an enlightening conversation, and it highlights just how far we've come in our understanding of both mRNA technology and the intricacies of the immune system.
But as with any scientific field, there are always more questions to answer, more challenges to overcome, and more breakthroughs to uncover. And that's what makes this whole area of research so incredibly exciting.
It really is remarkable, isn't it? The sheer pace of innovation in this field is incredible. Just a few years ago, mRNA vaccines were a promising concept, mostly confined to labs and research papers. And now, look at us. We're seeing them used to fight a global pandemic and showing some seriously exciting potential in the fight against cancer. Who would have thought? It really makes you realize that we're living in a time of remarkable scientific advancement.
I totally agree. But as with any new and rapidly evolving field, there are always challenges, right? Like, what are some of the hurdles that still need to be overcome with mRNA vaccines? What's keeping those brilliant minds busy in the labs?
You're right. There are always hurdles in science. That's part of what makes it so challenging, you know, and so rewarding when those breakthroughs finally happen. But to answer your question, one of the biggest challenges with mRNA vaccines in general is improving the stability of those mRNA molecules. They're so incredibly fragile, it's almost unbelievable.
Right. We talked earlier about how easily mRNA can be broken down. It's trying to deliver a message written on a sheet of paper in a hurricane. It's amazing that it even works at all. Those scientists deserve some serious kudos.
Exactly. And that's why those lipid nanoparticles and other delivery systems are so crucial. They're like tiny armored vehicles protecting their precious cargo. But even with those protective measures, scientists are constantly looking for ways to make the mRNA itself more resilient, less like a delicate flower and more like a hardy weed, if you will. They're exploring things like chemical modifications to the mRNA structure to make it more resistant to degradation, kind of like giving that sheet of paper a waterproof coating so it can survive that hurricane.
That's a great way to think about it. It makes it so much easier to visualize what's actually happening at a molecular level. But besides making those mRNA molecules more stable, what other challenges are researchers grappling with?
Well, another challenge, and one we've touched on a few times already, is making sure those mRNA vaccines are reaching the right cells and tissues in the body. It's like sending a package. It doesn't matter how well packaged it is if it ends up at the wrong address.
Right. It's like having a GPS system that ensures those delivery trucks get to their destination without any detours or wrong turns.
Exactly. Targeting is key. We talked about lipid nanoparticles and polymers, but scientists are constantly exploring new and even more precise ways to direct those mRNA vaccines to the specific cells where they're needed most. They're even looking at ways to attach targeting molecules to the delivery systems. It's like putting an address label on those delivery trucks and making sure they have a detailed map to navigate those complex roads inside the body.
That level of precision is mind-blowing. It's like something out of a science fiction movie, but it's really happening in labs right now. But even if we can get the mRNA vaccines where they need to go, there's still that challenge of controlling the immune response, right? It's a powerful tool, but one that needs to be handled carefully.
You're absolutely right. It's a delicate balancing act, like walking a tightrope. On the one hand, we want to stimulate the immune system to mount a powerful attack against those cancer cells, to really give them a run for their money. But on the other hand, we don't want to create an overreaction that could damage healthy tissue or lead to those autoimmune disorders where the immune system starts attacking the body's own cells.
Right. It's like trying to train a guard dog. We want it to be protective of the house, but not overly aggressive toward our friends and family.
Precisely. And that's why researchers are exploring various approaches to fine-tune that immune response to strike that perfect balance. We talked about purifying the mRNA to remove any impurities that could trigger an overreaction, like taking out any extra spices that might make the dish too spicy. And we discussed those modified nucleotides, which can make the mRNA less stimulating to certain parts of the immune system, like teaching that guard dog to recognize familiar faces and not bark at every passerby. It's fascinating work.
It really is. It's like trying to write a computer program for the immune system, figuring out the exact code to get the response we want. It's incredibly complex.
It is a complex language, that's for sure. But with each new discovery, with each clinical trial, we're learning more about how to communicate with the immune system in a safe and effective way. It's a challenge, but one that scientists love to tackle.
It's an exciting time to be witnessing these groundbreaking advancements. So as we look to the future of mRNA vaccines, what are some of the potential breakthroughs that have you particularly excited? What's got you buzzing with anticipation?
Well, we've touched on a few already, like those self-amplifying mRNA vaccines, or SAM vaccines, as we like to call them. Imagine the possibilities if we can harness the replication power of viruses to create vaccines that are even more potent and longer lasting. That's a game changer in the making.
Right. It's like upgrading from a single-shot rifle to a high-tech machine gun when it comes to fighting disease. Talk about firepower.
That's one way to think about it. But SAM vaccines are just the tip of the iceberg. Scientists are exploring a whole range of other innovations, like using mRNA to deliver gene editing tools to correct genetic defects. It's like having tiny surgeons that can go in and fix faulty wiring. We're also looking at developing vaccines that can target multiple diseases at once. Imagine getting one shot that protects you from a whole bunch of nasty bugs. And they're even working on creating personalized vaccines for chronic conditions like autoimmune disorders. The possibilities seem truly endless. It's an incredibly inspiring time to be working in this field.
Sounds like it. And as we wrap up our deep dive into the world of mRNA vaccines, I think it's important to acknowledge that this is just the beginning of the journey. What we're seeing now is only a glimpse of what this technology might be capable of in the years to come. It's like we've just opened the first page of a really, really exciting science fiction novel, and we can't wait to see what twists and turns the story takes next.
I completely agree. This is a field that's moving at lightning speed, and we're only just beginning to scratch the surface of its potential. The discoveries being made today, they're not just incremental steps. They're laying the groundwork for a future where we might be able to treat and even cure diseases that were once considered incurable. It's an incredibly exciting time to be involved in this field, and I can't wait to see what the future holds. And for everyone listening, I hope you feel that same sense of excitement and possibility. This isn't just science happening in a vacuum. It has the potential to change all of our lives.
It's like we're standing on the edge of a whole new world of medicine, and the view is absolutely breathtaking. It's been an absolute pleasure exploring this fascinating topic with you today, and I have a feeling this won't be our last deep dive into the world of mRNA vaccines. There's just too much to discover. So until next time, keep those curious minds engaged, and thanks for joining us on this incredible journey of scientific exploration.